Bryan. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
You actually learned the craft of animation at Rhode Island School of Design, right?
Yes, actually I did, yeah. I spent 4 years there as an animation major. And, had a great time, and that's where I made the student film that came to the attention of Fox, and I think had a lot to do with getting me this show.
That's an amazing story. Tell us, it's called The Life of Larry.
Yeah, and it was something that I worked on. I was doing stand-up at the time, so I was trying to, figure out a way to, do a film that was, a comedy that would be strictly for making people laugh, mm-hmm. and so I just had to, use a really limited animation style, which I later, a style that I later revisited to do the Family Guy pilot, because I had to do that on a limited budget. But humor style, the student film was in a lot of ways very similar to Family Guy.
Now, Life of Larry, has that been released anywhere on video?
It hasn't, actually. It was a 16mm film that was, visually probably, the quality wasn't that good, so I can't imagine they'd release it, but who knows.
But you know they will, they're gonna, with a big thing on the top, from the man who brought us Family Guy,
Yeah.
They do that all the time. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. You said you brought in the film The Life of Larry to, the folks at Mad TV?
Yeah. And what happened was they wanted to do a series of little shorts for their show, in the same way that the Tracy Ullman show had The Simpsons when it was on that show, and the deal sort of fell through, and then Fox itself said, hey, let's give them a shot to do this thing anyway.
So they had seen the folks outside of Mad TV had seen it from Fox?
Yeah. Yeah, Fox had sent it over to Mad and said, hey, maybe this is something, you guys want to do something with.
Yeah.
So what happened was they gave me a shot at doing this, and animated it by hand, and managed to sell it that way.
I mean, you did everything. You created, you wrote it, you animated it, you directed it, you did all the voices. You've done everything.
Yeah, I was on a limited budget, so it sort of forced me to do a lot that maybe I wouldn't otherwise have done.
You were about 25 years old now?
Yeah, about 26.
It's amazing that you are riding pretty high. You know, I love that show. I saw it when it first went on. I was really intrigued by the character of Stewie, the little baby,
uh-huh.
and the dog. It's a great show. What happened to it? I mean, why wasn't it continued in the first place?
it was on Sundays initially, and then we got moved to Thursdays, which was really... The show had been on for 7 episodes, and it was moved very soon into its run, which I think had a lot to do with why it didn't make it.
Because I thought it fit in perfectly on Sundays with The Simpsons and the group they had it with.
Yeah, I think, there's some folks who say it still would fit perfectly there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not doing well on Thursdays. And what we did was we called the network and said, is there any way you guys could pull us off until a better time slot can be found for the show? And hopefully this is it. Hopefully.
Do you like the time slot on Tuesdays?
Everybody wants a Sunday slot.
Yeah.
But Malcolm in the Middle, I guess, is doing very well there right now, so they're not going to move that. We'll see. It's not the ideal slot. It's a hell of a lot better than Thursdays, but hopefully people will find us there.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why we have you on today, and I know you're doing a lot of interviews all over the country. Mm-hmm. As people discover The Family Guy. It's a very, very funny show. And I guess the humor must come from in your brain.
Initially in the pilot episode, obviously laid a lot of the groundwork. We have about 20 writers who are all, very funny, and some of them from the East Coast. One of them from Providence, Rhode Island, who knows... who knows every little bit of you know, cultural history from the area. The human encyclopedia of Providence lore.
Well, this family, the Griffin family, is supposed to be middle class New Englander, but have you specified where they're from?
Yeah, we've specified they're from Quahog, Rhode Island, which is basically it's just a fictional town outside of Providence, and you can actually see when you watch the show, you can see the three biggest buildings in Providence in the background of their house. You know, the Fleet Bank building and the Hospital Trust building and that other one that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, well, you spent some time in Rhode Island, but you're from Connecticut originally, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. So what is it like now? You're part of the Hollywood lore now. I assume you probably live in L.A.
Yeah, I believe me. If I could do this out of... I could do this out of the East Coast, I would.
Do you miss the East Coast?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Very good to hear a Boston accent, I must tell you.
Well, I lived in L.A. for a while myself when I was working out there.
Really?
And I lived in Sherman Oaks.
And oh, yeah, that's
yeah, I the only thing I didn't like about the atmosphere out there was that everybody's in showbiz,
yeah.
Whether they're a waitress or your auto mechanic, and people judged you by what your current project was.
Yeah, it's kind of that's the problem really with L.A. is that you live in a place that's so immersed in this industry, and you're trying to stay fresh, and you're trying to, you know, when you're writing, you try and come at things from you observe what's around you, and when everything is Hollywood related out here, it makes it very difficult.
You're doing something that I have not heard of before on a cartoon. I've heard going from, for instance, you mentioned Malcolm in the Middle, also another show on Fox that we've done interviews with a lot of them, is That 70s Show, which recently on one of the shows did an animated part to the show. From what I understand, you are going to be taking your animation show and doing a live part on it.
Yeah, we have a couple of spots. Like that. One of them has aired already. One of them was part of our New Year's episode where the Y2K bug hit and destroyed the world, and the second and third acts of the episode took place in this, you know, sort of post-apocalyptic Mad Max type of environment, and we had to get out of that at the end and you know, find a way to restore the normal reality of our series. So what we did was we got Patrick Duffy and Victoria Principal to do a live action piece for us, and what they did was they recreated the classic Dallas cliffhanger scene where
when he came out of the shower and that's
what's that? Yeah,
with the shower.
She wakes up from the dream and sees him in the shower, and she basically says, "Oh, you know, Bobby, I just had the weirdest dream. I saw the strangest episode of Family Guy," and that was a lot of fun. There are a couple more live-action segments that are coming up, and one computer animation sequence that's sort of a takeoff on the movie Tron.
You've got some incredible... Talking about, you know, guests, when you have an animated show, and Simpsons does the same thing, you can put some great guests in there through their voices.
Yeah.
And you've got a plethora of huge stars coming on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for some strange reason, it's much easier to get, you know, bigger name guest stars when you're an animated show, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, they're busy, they don't have a lot of time, all they have to do is, you know, come in for an hour and record, and they're out. They don't have to put on makeup or anything like that, and also I think people are fascinated by the medium. They you know, people want to see themselves as cartoons. You know, we have Norm MacDonald, who's showing up this season in one of the episodes. The cast of Murphy Brown, Kiss, the rock group, Ben Stein, Luke Perry.
I'm more intrigued by some of the oldies but goodies like Adam West and Don
Adam
Wells.
Adam West, who is fantastic, he appears in a number of episodes. We're trying to make him. Sort of a semi-regular. He is the mayor of Quahog, Rhode Island.
And where did Don Wells come in here?
Don Wells did a segment for us she actually did a Gilligan's Island
really?
For us, which I think may have been cut from one of our episodes because I haven't seen it in a while.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's you know, it's so much shuffling around of gags and these things. But
what about Robin Leach? I notice he's going to be on there too.
Yeah, Robin Leach actually was on. He was on our season premiere from last November, the one that nobody saw because we were on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed it as
but,
well.
Yeah, he did an episode for us.
And Luke Perry, my good buddy from 90210.
Luke Perry, very very nice guy. Huge. Friend to the show.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been very supportive.
This has the potential of being a huge cult classic, and running for many many years. You know, Fox made a pretty big mistake the first time around. Are they going to give you the support you guys need in terms of publicizing the show and really pushing it for you?
You know, I think so. I think so. They've put a lot into this promotional campaign. This time around, so I think it seems like they're seems like they're giving it their all. So I hopefully we will be able to sustain our audience on Tuesdays.
Which one of these characters that you have in this show most closely resembles you?
You know, I suppose Brian.
The dog.
Only because the voice is the easiest to do. It's basically my regular voice. I would say Brian. There isn't any one character on the show that's really, you know, autobiographical. I would say.
I was hoping it wasn't going to be Stu. That's all.
That would be bad.
Can you give us a little Stu?
What's that?
Can you do a little stew for us?
Oh, my God. With this vicious head cold, you demanding man. Oh, very well. Very well, you vile gutter snipe. Here's a bit of stewing.
There you are. There you are. It probably sounds nothing like him. My head feels like a rock, but,
It sounded like him. That was my one of my last questions I want to ask you is, when you get a character on paper, mm-hmm. how do you determine the kind of voice you're going to give?
I think it's done one of two ways. When I was creating the show, the way I worked was to come up with the character first and thereby the voice, which I sort of learned, I guess, from doing stand-up. And then the design comes afterwards. Now, when we're writing a script, obviously, you know, there's no really no time for that on a week-to-week basis. So, you know, what we'll do is maybe we'll have a specific actor in mind, or we'll have a specific kind of voice in mind when we write a character, which is important. Every once in a while, somebody will do a couple of the writers, our SAG members, and do voices for us. And every once in a while, one of them will come up with like a voice or something or a character that just makes us all laugh, and we'll try and find a way to work it in.
Now, anything else brewing outside the show? Are you working on any other projects?
You know, it is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job to produce the show. I think if I move on to something else, it will mean stepping away from this show, and I don't think the show is ready yet.
It's not going to be a David E. Kelly with 40 shows running at the same time and killing them all single-handedly.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, that's what David E. Kelly did. He kind of spread himself so thin that all the shows start suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's also the difference between, he's a very prolific writer. I think that's what the majority of his day, I think he does, I think he's primarily spends most of his day writing, which is a little different from what we do. I mean, you know, I'm going from recording to drawing to writing to editing.
Sure.
So it's
what are you doing?
You know, this is a different type of work.
10, 15, 20-hour days?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Well, everybody, check it out. It's Tuesday nights at 8:30 on Fox. Family Guy, a very, very funny show. Seth MacFarlane, lots of luck, and hope that you're in this business a long time.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.